Mark chapter 10, I've preached on this passage before, and I'm not going to go into detail, but the Lord has brought me to this passage just to ask us one question. I want to read this passage, and the passage before that, but we're going to go to verse 46 first. This is a familiar passage, and it should bring back some memories and some of the things that God has spoken to us through this passage. Verse 46, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," say Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So this passage talks about this man who is blind and who cries out to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Call him." And today I would like to focus on just this one phrase or this one question that Jesus asked him. "What do you want me to do for you?" And this evening, I'd like us to focus on that question as if Jesus was asking us, "What do you want me to do for you this year, 2016? Some of you have answer already, yeah? At the back of your head. "Oh, I want this." Just like Chris, you know, sit down and do budget. Couple of days ago, no lah, we didn't do budget lah. No budget to budget. But we sat down and the whole family took out the 2005 goals and went through one by one. You know, each person had different goals and they went through one by one. Either tick or you know, didn't achieve. Then we set some new goals for the family. And perhaps you have set down 2015 as you cross over to 2016, plot down some goals that you would like to see. But today I want just think about that question. If Jesus were here and he were to ask us that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would our answer be? Let's flip the page to the previous passage. Verse 35. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Okay, so this is James and John, right? "What do you want me to do for you?" he asks. Now, the very same question he asks the beggar. These are his two disciples coming to him and says, "Jesus, I want you to do whatever we ask." And Jesus asks the very same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Let's read on. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left, in your glory." And Jesus said this, "You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When The ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great, to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then it goes on to talk about the story of Bartimaeus. Today, I'd like us to look at these two people. Or first there was these two guys, the disciples, and then there was Bartimaeus. Jesus asked these two people, or, you know, the first group, these two guys, and this guy Bartimaeus, the same question. What do you want me to do for you? And these two guys had different intentions, different ideas of what we want God to do. And perhaps as you are sitting here, all of us will have different ideas, different intent. As if Jesus will come and say, "What do you want me to do?" Well, I've got this and I've got that and I've got that. But let's look at Jesus' response to these two groups of people. Firstly, the disciples. He says this, after the disciples said, "This is what I want. You know, when you come in your glory, both of us, and we want to sit on your right and your left." And Jesus' response is, "You don't know what you're asking. Have we been in a situation whereby we ask something, and say, I want this. And then, you know, either our parents or our teacher or whoever, you know, turns to us and say, "You don't know what you're asking." Perhaps it could be because, you know, our heart was not right. Perhaps it could be because, you know, we were immature in our thinking and therefore we ask certain things that we cannot handle. But here Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "You don't know what you're asking." And then he carries on by saying, "Can you?" As if saying, if you want that, you got to do this. This is what you're asking. You're asking to be seated at the right and the left. And Jesus says, "Can you drink the cup? Can you be baptized?" And that obviously refers to the suffering, the burden that Jesus had to bear. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks back, right? Jesus goes and says, "Father, if it is your, if it is possible, this is what I want," right? "If it is possible, but not my will, but your will be done, let this cup be removed." You know, Jesus was referring to the suffering on the cross and bearing the sin of the world. And here, before even that happens, these two disciples come very cleverly and said, "You know, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to sit on your right and your left." And Jesus said, "Can you do this?" I think if I were them, right, I'll stop there, keep quiet. After that, don't talk so much. But they go and say, "Can." And Jesus said, "You will." As if saying that you've got no choice, you know. Whether you like it or not, you're going to go through this. You know, a lot of times we ask for things and Jesus turns to us and says, "You don't know what you're asking for." A lot of times we want to do things, you know, and many times I think if we are honest with ourselves, right, and we are honest with God, we say, "God, we want to, you know, do this, we want to take the world, we want to whatever." And then after a couple of sessions with Him, honest sessions we are humbled because we come to the point to say, God, this is too big. Do you know what you're asking? You will drink. You will suffer. Why? Because the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. You want to be with me, as if Jesus is saying, you want to be with me, seated next to me, you got to be do as I do. You got to be like me. But even that, Jesus said, that's not for me to decide who's going to sit on my right and my left. But what's going to happen is, you follow me. It's as if Jesus is saying that, you follow me. In contrast, to a couple of verses later, we see Bartimaeus. What does he want? He wants to see. Now, the two things, two people here, and two things, if you can call them things, positions, attitudes that has come forth when that same question was asked. What do you want me to do for you? Firstly, from the disciples, I mean, you expect them to know better, lah. But from the disciples, they wanted position. I want to sit. And from the beggar, he says, I want to see. I want to see. And so we ask this question for all of us, you and I. This year, if Jesus were to come and say, what do you want me to do? Can we, generally we can summarize this, huh? Do we want to sit or do we want to see? Sitting basically speaks of position, and we read that in the passage, right? He brings out the example of the Gentiles who lord over people. It speaks of position, wanting to be in a position of glory. It speaks about exercising lordship. On the other hand, wanting to see speaks about wanting the presence of God. Wanting to see speaks about experiencing living. Now this guy Bartimaeus has been blind, and you know, he hasn't seen anything in his life. And he says, I want to experience living. Now we can think about that, and we can ask ourselves, you know, in the spirit, perhaps there's some of us that are blind to certain things. Can we now readily say, if Jesus asks us, what do you want me to do? Can we readily say, I want to see. I want to experience life. John tells us, you know, Jesus has come so that we can have life and have it to the full. Last week we talked about bearing much fruit. You know, you read throughout scripture, right? There's always this emphasis of fullness, you know, of abundance. Jesus doesn't want us to remain in him so that we bear one fruit. So that we bear some fruit. No, he wants us to bear much fruit. But a lot of times in life, we are satisfied with the little, which God says, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to experience much fruit. John 10:10 says that he has come that we may have life. And many times as Christians, we stop there. Okay? We stop there and say, well, I've got life, that's good. At one point in my Christian life, as a young Christian, I said this to myself. I said this to some of my leaders as well. You know, I'm safe, so what? I'm going to heaven, right? You know, so I go up to my leader and say, sure, huh? The Bible says I'm going to heaven, right? So, safe already, I'm done. Then, go and live anyhow I like. You know, sometimes we joke about it, right? But some of us quite serious. I was quite serious then. You know, why do so many things? And if you read John, it says, he came so that we have life and life and life to the full, abundant life. But a lot of times we say, God, thank you for life. But we dare not step in to the fullness of that life. And so the challenge for us today is this. What position do we want to hold? What position do we want to take? What is our attitude when Jesus asks us, what do you want for this year? Do we want to sit or do we want to see? Do we want position or do we want the presence? Do we want to, you know, lording over people, or do we want to experience living with Christ? The disciples wanted things for themselves. Put me in that position. Make life easy a bit. Bartimaeus, however, he responded out of faith. James and John wanted favors. Bartimaeus exercised faith. How many of us, don't have to answer, I just want you to answer between you and the Lord, have asked for, God, can you do me a favor? As if he was our friend, and can you just do me a favor, throw the rubbish? You know, can you do me a favor, pick up the, sweep the floor? You know, we say this to our classmates and our, do me a favor, just. And sometimes we look at God and we treat God like that. God, can you do me a favor? The seat next to you, we say that to God, friend, high five, Put me next to you. Favor. Don't do anything. Don't have to do anything. God, just put me there. Jesus told Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. There is a difference between sitting down and say, God, I know you are good. True lah. God, I know you love me. Also true. God, I know you want to bless me. Oh, so true, huh? And then you say, God, just do it. Show some favor. Versus coming to God and say, God, I want to exercise faith. Because faith moves mountains. And so we begin this year. I want to ask us, and I believe that the Lord wants us to be challenged to live a new year, this year, with faith. I am not sure what has happened in 2015. Right, for us, I mean, I sit down, evaluate 2015. Now, what happened? Oh, so fast, it's gone. 15 is like Zoom. And I expect 16 to be Zoomer. If there's such a thing, it's going to be so fast, you know. But we got to pause and say, God, how can I experience you in the midst of all that? Answer very easy. Learn to exercise faith. I want to see. And that passage, I mean, that phrase itself reminded me of the passage in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Maybe you can turn to that. The Lord said this, verse 42, 41. Okay, Luke 6 and 41 says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your eye? You hypocrite, first take out the plank, out of your eye, and then you can see clearly and remove the speck from your brother's eye. Basically, this passage says this. Let's check our lives first. Before we start, you know, going and tell people what to do. Watch night, we said this. This is the year of connections for us. And there are three areas that we need to be connected. One, we need to be connected with Christ. And that's the first. You know, Jesus says, remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Second, we need to be connected with the church. Why? Because, you know, this is God's plan, God's design. He put the church together so that we can build one another, we can spur one another, we can challenge one another, we can love one another, and exercise all that God has put in us. Number three, we need to be connected to the community. To go about doing whatever we do and see people just as, you know, Peter saw the lame and says, what I have, I give to you. Rise up, walk, and be connected in that sense. But in order for us to be connected, we've got to first do an evaluation. Look at ourselves. See whether we got plank in our eye or not. First step is this. We move from here saying, okay, let's forget about position. You know, I don't want to sit, I want to see. Right? I want to see. Year 2016, I want to see. Maybe 2015, we've been asking God, you know, for favors. Now I want to exercise faith. You know, I don't want to sit down anymore. I want to see and we start living. And then we got to take the next step and say, okay, you want to see. First of all, see whether got plank in your eye or not. Okay. See if there's a plank in your eye. Plug it out. Because when we begin to evaluate our lives in light with, you know, God's standards and God's position and how He sees us, we begin to see certain things that needs to be removed. And then as these are removed, then we begin to connect with people and then we are able to impact others. Bartimaeus rose up, he jumped up. And Jesus, you know, when Jesus said to him, you know, get up, your faith has healed you. He said, go. All right, verse 52, right? Go, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received sight and followed. Now the difference with him is this. Jesus said, go, he followed. Why? Because there's something. There's a new faith, a new release, a new life that has come. And that cannot happen unless we see things from the right perspective. And so today, my challenge for us, each and every one of us, you and I, is this. Every year, every new year, we expect, whether consciously or unconsciously, we expect the year to be better than the last year. You know, we want things to be better than the previous year. We want certain things at a different level. We want to experience things at a different level. At a higher level. When I say different, higher, better. But we ask this question, why? Today we ask, what do you want? In fact, I go on to ask, why do you want what you want? Because that is the crux of it. If you ask these two disciples, why do you want to sit on the right and on the left? They didn't answer that question. Jesus didn't ask that question. But you can deduce from what's happening there that there was a desire for the self to be in a certain position. I want to sit at that position. And that goes deep down. And then the next passage, he deals with another guy that goes deep down as well. He says, you know, from afar, he hears Jesus and he cries out. He acknowledges who he is. Calls him. And then says, I want to see. And it doesn't end there. It ends, that story ends with him getting up immediately following Jesus. I ask this question, what do we want to do immediately? Right now. How many of you have, and we always say this, every year we say this, to the extent that we don't say it anymore, you know, we have New Year resolutions so that, you know, in 2 weeks' time we can, they all disappear. New Year resolutions are only good for 2 weeks. And after that, it's gone. Then at the end of the year, you pick it up and, oh yeah, I wrote this down last year. No, you guys don't write anything down anymore, right? Immediately, what do we want to do immediately? I shared with you on Watch Night, right, that one of the changes that's happening to me is I'm going back to study, right? Those of you here. So I registered myself last minute. I passed the deadline already. I decided after that. But then, you know, because New Year and Christmas and all, they were closed. Seminary was closed, and just a couple of days back, they sent me, this is your requirement, okay, for this subject that you're taking. Like, what? 20 over pages assignment, you know. Like, oh, okay, I got to do this. But as I thought about it, okay, let's get to work. Spend some time staying up to do assignment before the class. Good? Yeah, follow. And then this week as I was thinking about the message, right, as I thought, and I want to end with this, okay? I want to end with this. What do we want to do right now, this year? Get up immediately, follow Jesus kind of thing, right? For the year 2016. But before you can answer that question, you need to take one step back and say, what do you want God to do for us this year? Then ask this question, why do we want Him to do that? Because the why question helps us to check our heart. And when we have a right heart and when we respond by faith, that's when things happen. So when you go to heaven, you see Jesus seated at the right hand of God, right? Okay. Do you expect to see these two disciples on the right and on the left? No answer given, right? James and John, okay? One on the right, one on the left. Well, on the left, definitely no, not there already, because the Father is sitting there, right? Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, right? So, I don't know lah. Answer not given. But you can guess whether they got their request or not. You can guess It's just a guess okay? You can guess. But the thing is this. A lot of times we come and say, we ask for selfish things. God, give me favor lah. Just me. And in this passage, if you base it on this passage and your guess is correct, what happens to them? In fact, the other disciples were mad at these two guys for asking that question. And then you see, in contrast, there's this guy who says, I want to see. His response to Jesus was a response acts of faith. Why? Because Jesus said, your faith has healed you. That's why you're getting what you're asking for. And so if you don't ask anything out of faith, you can guess now whether you can get it or not. But when you ask out of faith, you know why, and that has been checked. Why do you ask what you ask? That has been checked. The heart has been checked. Then we see God respond. 2016, a year of connections. First Sunday. I believe, I'm really excited for this year because I see so many things happening. With staff, with different people, you know, even with myself. I see many things happening. I'm excited about 2016. Really excited. I'm like, wow, this is going to be, you know. But for every one of us, as you see, I hope you see excitement as well, 2016. But we got to step in with faith. Everybody say, I want to see. Yeah. I want to see. Why do you say that? Because there's faith in your heart. Not because I've been, been blind, you know, have pity, I just want to see, you know. No. But with faith in our hearts, rising up and say, God, I want to see. I ask this question, you know. When did Bartimaeus decide to follow Jesus? Don't know, the Bible doesn't say. But I think that he had decided way before he could see. Why do I say that? Because when he hears, when he heard that Jesus was coming, he called him Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He acknowledged who Jesus is. He's the King. And so in his heart, he had already decided, he's my King. I want to follow Jesus. And so the moment he received sight, no question asked. That's why Mark says immediately he got up. Got his sight, right? Immediately he followed Jesus. It needs to happen in the heart. Bring it up to the head. And say, yes, I'm determined to do this. Let's bow our heads for right now. Let's just bow our heads right now and ask the Lord. Lord, maybe there are planks in my eye. Maybe there are planks in my head. You know, there's when a person gets a stroke, right? As you bow your heads, just think about this. When a person gets a stroke, oxygen is cut off from certain parts of the brain. What happens is that, you know, certain bodily functions then cease. So when a person gets a stroke, maybe, you know, part of his body, he cannot move his right hand or his left hand or whatever. Maybe his speech is slurred. The body is affected. You know, some of us, sometimes we get spiritual stroke, you know. This is what I call a spiritual stroke. Why? Because our thinking is restricted. You know, there is no blood going into our brain. And when I talk about blood, I talk about the Holy Spirit. Life. Certain parts of our brain, you know, the brain has different parts of our brain controls different functions. Some parts of our brain, no problem. You know, we are found in church, we are found in prayer meeting, we are found in whatever. And we are serving in certain areas, great. But there are certain parts of our brain, we just, no life. And perhaps right now, we need to say, Lord, revive that part of my brain. Because mentally, I'm just blocked. Spirit is not hitting that part. And for each one of us, it could be different areas. It could be certain areas of ministry. It could be certain areas of sacrifice. It could be, you know, a whole variety of things. And God needs to change that. I want to see. Let the blood flow into that area. What do you want me to do for you? Why do you want me to do that? The why question is basically for us. Because God already knows why. So let's check our hearts right now and say, God, 2016, this is what I want. I want it in response to faith. Would you do that right now? Wherever we are at, no matter how young or old a Christian we are, no matter how our Christian walk has been, 2016, a year of connections, let's first of all be connected to God and say, God, I want to respond by faith. I want to see you like never before. Certain things have to go. I want you more than anything else. Let faith arise right now. Holy Spirit, come and touch. Touch the lives of every single person that is here. Touch the lives of God, of your people. I want to see you, God. Open our eyes. Father, we pray for a new release, a new anointing upon our lives. Lord, we pray. A new vision for this new year. A new vision, Lord. We want to see a new vision for our lives, for the ministry that you have set for us, for our church, for our community. Give us a new vision, Lord. We want to see. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit touching our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll move greater in this new year in our lives because we want to see. Thank you, God. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, Amen.